doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of loving you.
Well, yesterday I heard Evan Bright talk about getting his flu shot on the show, and this week here at Ralco, we got an opportunity to get our flu shots if we wanted them too. So I did. I took a flu shot and a COVID shot. Flu shot in one arm. And yeah, no big deal. COVID shot in the eyeball. I mean, no, I took it in the arm, the other arm. And that arm is a little sore. When I go to raise my arm above my head, it kind of hurts. That's about the only effect I've had. Some people feel a little lethargic or else feel like they're a little sick after they take a flu shot, but everyone reacts differently. But I got her done. And Dr. Carla Holinati, our family physician, is here to help distinguish what all the bugs are going around these days. I know a few people, I had one bad bug a couple of weeks ago that seemingly lasted for weeks and weeks. But welcome back to the show, Doc.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How important is it, Carla, to get a flu shot as soon as possible, or does it matter how long you wait?
Ideally, we should get them as soon as possible because that lets you build protection and immunity as we come into the flu season so that when we really see that surge of flu cases, you've got protection on board. Pharmacies will have it. Family doctor's offices will have it. Primary health clinics will mostly have it, or through public health offices.
What are the key differences people got to know between like a common cold, the flu, and even COVID?
You're right. Lots of similar symptoms between those three things. It's important to remember influenza is a respiratory virus. I think a lot of people, when they think of the flu, think about vomiting or diarrhea or stomach bugs, and that's really not a typical influenza symptom. So with a cold, we tend to see more mild symptoms. You've got that cough, you've got the runny nose, and you feel kind of crummy, but it's not awful. When you have influenza, we tend to see people have more severe symptoms. So now you're getting things like fevers or shortness of breath, more impactful on your day-to-day life than just that kind of annoying cough or cold. And then COVID can still have a wide variation in terms of how it is presenting, but it can be similar to those things as well. If you're feeling unwell, please check in with your family doctor. We can do testing if we need to see, is this influenza? Is it something else? And make sure that you're safe.
Of course, Dr. Carla Holinati, our family physician, on the air with me. Why does flu season always seem to hit at the same time every year?
You're right, it does. And it's a global pattern that we see. So as we move into the fall for us is when we get that surge of influenza cases. In sort of the opposite half of the world, they see the opposite seasonal pattern as we do. For us, it coincides with when people are moving inside closer quarters with other people. We have more exposure to recirculated air as we're closing windows, turning on furnaces. So we just see an increase in a lot of those things, especially with kids back in school, a bit of a surge in the GI or the gut bugs and diarrhea, those sorts of things as well.
So the only prevention really is hand washing is the biggie.
Vaccination, super important, especially as we know that we're seeing some strange things happening in other parts of the world that aren't typical. There's a big outbreak of influenza in Japan right now, which is not in the typical season for them. And so we're not sure if that means that we're going to potentially have a worse influenza season than we might have expected. So making sure that you're vaccinated, getting that extra protection, especially if you're a more vulnerable person, if you're a more advanced age, if you have other comorbidities, if you're a healthcare worker, vaccination is super important.
Carla, just to be sure here, COVID shots and flu shots are free in Saskatchewan. Is that right?
Yes, it's my understanding that they should be covered for people.
There's still some hesitancy around flu shots and the updated COVID vaccines. What do you say to patients who are on the fence about getting vaccinated?
I mean, we understand where that worry is coming from. There is so many things on the internet around all sorts of different health conditions, around treatments for those things right now. And an awful lot of it is misinformation. It's hard to know as a person with no training in this area what's true and what's not. And so my advice to people would be, number one, if you're getting that information, make sure that it's from a trusted source. If it's coming from a blog, if it's coming from Facebook, if it's coming from a place where a person is trying to sell you an alternative or a supplement, it's probably not reliable information. So make sure that it's coming from a medical organization or a government organization. And if you're still not sure, please check in with your healthcare professionals.
Lastly, Doc, if someone gets sick, what are the red flags that indicate it's time to see a doctor versus saying, just stay home, ride it out?
If you're having trouble drinking for, you know, more than a day and you're starting to feel like you're not peeing all that much or your mouth is really dry, that can be a sign of dehydration. If you're getting really dizzy when you go from sitting to standing or try to move around, if you're getting quite short of breath, even with, you know, minimal moving, feeling like you're not really connecting to the universe around you, we call that altered level of consciousness. So if you're seeming like you're confused, or if you've just got that kind of voice in your head that's saying something is wrong here, please listen to that voice and seek medical attention.
Doc, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Some great advice there. Thanks for sharing today.
I'm always happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Greg Morgan here with Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. We were looking over some of the social media, all the buzz, including our own Jamie Nye, who shared photos of what the Jumbotron and advertisements are over at Mosaic Stadium. It infers the Foo Fighters have an announcement.
Wow. Yeah. Again, not official. This is not to say that, yes, they are definitely, but...
What did they post? On the video, you would see the Foo Fighters logo and a date, right?
Yeah, and that date is tomorrow. Obviously, they're not playing a concert in Mosaic Stadium tomorrow, but we're thinking, is it possibly a concert announcement for perhaps sometime next year? And that would be huge for, I guess, Mosaic Stadium. We haven't had a concert since Garth Brooks in 2019, Greg. I had to look that year up because I was like, oh, it doesn't seem like that long ago.
That was the last major one.
Yeah.
Because we had Guns N' Roses, the Eagles. Yeah. They were all before Garth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They were.
You are, well, your mind is much sharper than mine.
I didn't go to Garth.
No.
But I went to Guns and I went to Eagles too.
Well, look, Rick Bennett, CEO of The Real District, I've had on the show a number of times. I've always challenged him about, you know, getting concert dates. He's always said, you know, they do their best to at least book dates. And only a few weeks ago, I had him on the show after interviewing him, and he said that, you know, they were pretty locked in on a date next summer. He would not, of course, tell us. And that was aside from Chapel Row, which he said, you know, they approached their people too and said, you know, whatever we need to do, we'll make that happen. But he did make it sound there was, in his words, a classic show. So who knows? We won't know until The Real District reveals all.
Yeah, and we do have a call in with him this morning to see if we can get more information. Remember, too, it was 3 years ago that they were supposed to play here, Foo Fighters.
Yeah,
Regina,
at the Brand
Center,
right?
Yeah.
That's when the drummer died, right?
Taylor Hawkins died, so they had to cancel. We actually had tickets in Saskatoon. We were going to go, because I think it was
You're
one of those things where they announced it at SaskTel Center first, and then they came to Regina, and we jumped on tickets quickly, but... I would say that would be, a pretty major concert for the city
if it does
come to fruition.
Can't wait to hear if it does. All right, hey, a new Ledge session starts today.
It does. They're back at it at the Marble Palace, so to speak. MLA's back to it. And so the throne speech will happen this afternoon. And remember, that lays out priorities for the Mo government over the next year or so. And one of the big things that Mo has kind of hinted at that will more than likely be coming is this involuntary a treatment program when it comes to addictions. And then that's something that, whether you think it's controversial or not, it could be something that the Mo government introduces to help those, maybe a new initiative to try and get people the help that they need. And sometimes perhaps they maybe don't seek out for themselves. So one of the things that they're expected to bring up when we get really busy again at the legislature.
Okay, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Thank you. Coming up after the news with Kevin at 7 o'clock here, I'll be joined by senior reporter Lisa Schick, who has been spending her time in the courtroom. It was day two of the trial for the man accused of killing Misha Pavlik. And we'll touch base with Lisa and get some insight from the courtroom yesterday with her right after the 7 o'clock news. We're going to find out what's going on with Evan Bray. He'll join me this half hour. And, of course, throne speech coming up later, about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Of course, 980 CJME will bring you all the details as all the MLAs are in their fancy suits out today and getting ready for that. And, of course, yesterday, day two of the trial for the man accused of killing Misha Pavlik. And covering this trial for us is 980 CJME senior reporter Lisa Schick, who joins me now. Good morning, Lisa.
Oh, good morning.
Well, the week began, obviously, with jury selection and then quickly dived into the trial with a Crown lawyer laying out the plan. But was there a problem with the jury or what's the situation there?
Yeah, you know, with a trial that's this long, there are always concerns that there might be problems with the jury. So they actually got picked out kind of an extra large pool of people. Normally it's 12 people for a jury. They're the ones who are allowed to vote. But in this case, the justice said, you know, we're going to have two extra jurors plus the two alternate jurors. So there was 16 people altogether. But through just the last 2 days, there have been enough problems. Two people weren't able to serve that had been picked, another person. There were some problems around that as well. So they're actually down to 13 jurors now from the 16.
Interesting. All right, so going back after to the jury selection, how the Crown began on day one. I know yesterday was day two, but they laid out their plan, right?
Yeah, you know, the Crown lawyer, Adam Brecker, he explained, you know, what he expected that the jury was going to hear over the next 4 weeks. So he talked about, you know, there was this grad party for Miller students that was being held at Kanukamaw Campground, kind of near Regina Beach, that May long weekend. This is something they apparently did every year. And then there was a group of uninvited people, people who didn't, you know, have the wristbands that they would have needed to get in, who came. There was a fight. There's some speculation that it was over maybe an ex-girlfriend of Misha's that was with one of the people in this uninvited group. And that's when Misha and another man were stabbed. And unfortunately, Misha passed away.
Okay, so they laid out the plan of what they were hoping to prove. And then day two yesterday seemed to be a lot of trying to recall what happened 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it wouldn't be surprising for, you know, memory and being able to recall things being a problem in this case. Like you say, it was almost 20 years ago. This was a lot of people who were drinking at the time, so that can cause problems as well. There are about 47 people who are on the witness list, several police officers, obviously, but also a lot of people who were at that party who would be, you know, coming up and explaining what it is that they saw, or at least trying to remember what they saw. So yesterday we heard from one police officer and two people who had been there, who had been at the party. And yeah, like you say, it's certainly in one instance, there was a lot of, you know, I don't know, it was so long ago, I don't remember, I was really drunk at the time, so I couldn't say, that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, and how long do you think this trial is going to go on, did they say?
You know, it's scheduled for 19 days, so about 4 weeks, but I mean, it wouldn't be unheard of for a trial to kind of go a little bit longer if things are taking longer, they haven't been able to get to what they need.
Okay, Lisa, well, thanks for the update, appreciate what you're doing. You're going to follow this all the way to the end, aren't you?
Absolutely.
All right. Senior reporter Lisa Schick, I thank you. CJME News Time now is 7:17. A little bit of social media buzz here this morning about what was spotted, I guess, by many on the Jumbotron, I guess, over the Mosaic Stadium. Foo Fighters logo popping up on the Jumbotron and some other signs, too, apparently, that were video screens. And it had tomorrow's date on it, inferring what? A Foo Fighters announcement of some sort? Maybe a forthcoming tour? Would it include Regina? They were originally scheduled back in 2022 to play at the Brand Center. Unfortunately, the drummer passed away and that tour was canceled. But who knows? Maybe the Fighters are indeed coming to Regina. That's the buzz on social media this morning. Live Nation Ontario even posted the same photo that we've seen on the Jumbotron here in Regina. They posted it outside of the Toronto arena, too. So there's definitely something to be inferred out of that announcement looming from the Foo Fighters tomorrow. As to whether or not it includes a Regina date, who knows? But I remind you of my buddy Rick Bennett, CEO from The Real District, who's been on this show a few times, and I've always pushed him about what's the plan for next summer as far as concerts.
Now into that cycle where we start planning 2026, so you know, a lot of phone calls are being made. We're having
lots. We got a couple of dates already on the calendar for that Mosaic Stadium concert.
Yeah, absolutely locked in. We're working really hard on one, which will be an absolute classic stadium concert, and we're really eager. We think we can bring it alive.
Chapel Roan one, though?
No, Chapel Roan. We've got to sit back and wait there a little bit. We've done as much as we can, and we said we're here to help you fulfill your promise, Chapel Roan, and stadium's ready to go for her.
All right. So that's all I know from Rick Bennett. The Real District will have to let us know further, possibly by tomorrow, if there is indeed a tape. Ah, Evan Bray is stopping in now for a preview of what's to come at 8:30. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Greg. How's it going today? Did you get your Blue Jay tickets for
I'm
World
a part-time
Series?
Fan. No, of course not. I'm a part-time fan. I'm on the bandwagon, and I'm enjoying watching this run, and I will again from the comfort of my couch. But
yes.
You'd have to help me out here. We went to Game 6 right before the Stanley Cup Final 2 years ago. In Edmonton.
Right.
And we were up in not the worst nosebleeds. We had actually had pretty good seats. Do you recall how much we spent?
$800.
We spent $800 each?
$800 each.
Wow. What were we thinking? I'm an Oilers fan.
You didn't think it was that high?
Well, I guess, and I probably would pay it again because it was just simply a blast. So Jays fans for the nosebleeds are in that $1,300-$1,400 range.
Wow.
And as high as $15,000 to $20,000 for the upper echelon tickets. I don't think I'd pay over $10,000 to go see.
Oh my gosh, Greg. No. I mean, there's no way. That's the thing. Like I just don't. I mean, obviously, they're going to get the prices. Some people will pay that money, but I cannot imagine. Everybody's got their line in the sand.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that if it was my team that I loved, maybe you scraped together
$1,500. The Islanders in the Stanley Cup, Game 7, how much are you willing to pay?
$1,500.
Maybe
$2,000.
Okay. Hey, coming up on the show today, of course, the throne speech. Later this afternoon from the ledge, and there could be some rule changes to get more people into drug treatment programs. They've kind of hinted at that. By force, is that the answer?
That is part of the answer. It's not the total solution, but as you probably remember, Greg, I mean, I was talking about the importance of this and the prioritization of this while I was still chief of police. We have a portion of the population who are on a crash course to die if there isn't some sort of intervention. And yes, asking them if they want help often results in them saying no. Those people are so ingrained in the lifestyle that they have and their reliance on drugs, they can't stabilize themselves enough to see any better for themselves. And so forced treatment, I'm not going to say it's the silver bullet that fixes everything, but it is definitely a way to try and help people who can't help themselves. Doesn't work every time, but there's lots of models out there, Greg, lots of models, some in Canada where it is yielding results. And I applaud this government if that is going to be included in the throne speech, because politically it's a bit of a hot potato. I get that, but I absolutely believe it has to be part of the overall package.
Well, I know I certainly don't have any answers, and I kind of respect what you're saying there about it, and I guess I'd have to just lean on someone like yourself or all the other professionals that understand the problem much greater. It's just like the thing after, you go through a program that you were forced to, and so many too just don't have family members for that extra support after it's all said and done.
That's a great point. A really good point, Greg, is if you're going to invest all of this time, then simply allowing them to return to the lifestyle that probably influenced them to fall into this life in the first place is going to set them up for failure. So there's lots of pieces to this puzzle, but that's part of the overall package. Yeah. So again, I applaud
no
it if it goes that
answer.
Way.
There's no easy answer. It really isn't.
Yeah.
Okay, and also coming up on the show, I know there's a big youth symposium in Melford tomorrow, and you're going to touch base on that one later with who?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you remember Bella Brave, of course. I mean, the province, the country fell in love with Bella Brave. Well, her mom, we lost Bella last summer, which was such a tragic and sad loss. Her mom, Kyla, continues to do great things, not only keeping Bella's legacy alive, but she's an inspirational person herself. She's a great speaker. She's speaking at this youth conference, and so we look forward to having Kyla on the show. Kyla Thompson will join me closer to lunchtime today.
All right, Evan, we'll see and hear you at 8:30 again. Thank you so much, my friend.
Right on. Thanks, Greg.